sometimes we would do the usability testing, which is like even more true if it's some problem that is related to how people use the app, for example. So we would ask them, hey, can you, I don't know, buy this back with the app? And they're trying to complete all the operations to get that back, for example. And we see that they are struggling on some step, or maybe they miss some information, or maybe they mistap something, or maybe even sometimes we would see that it's not even very like usable. Their finger is, I don't know, bigger, thumb is bigger than the button itself. We could see these things already clearly before we do the usability testing. But when you actually test things in real life and let them click, it's the best. Sometimes it will be about the conversation about, hey, just, you know, kind of you have a magic wand. Please tell me everything that you wish about this product or.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for listening to the show. I would love if you could give us your opinion on how you felt about the show, your experience that you have in regards to what we've been talking about. I am having an absolute blast, but your input is like dynamite on that explosion. So give us your input. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, concerns? Give us everything you got. We love it. Thanks. I hope you're having an awesome day. Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Baudin. Baudin, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolute pleasure.
Awesome. So give us a highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
Yeah, I'm a CEO and creative director at thecream.com, which is a creative agency. And we do many cool things, which are the websites, which we produce from scratch to full service website. And actually, that's the company websites. We also do branding to help companies, actually tech companies, brand themselves up. We also do digital products and creative campaigns. So all about creativity and design for the tech industry is something that we put our brains into. And yeah, me myself, I oversee the projects. I run the team. I run a lot of things within the cream because I'm personally super driven by great design and by value that we can make into the world and helping the tech game changers drive progress. So yeah.
I love it. Well, we will delve into all of these things. But before we do that, how did you get into, marketing as your thing?
Yeah, sure. I was actually very curious about marketing because these are three fundamental spheres of life, as I believe. First is the psychology, like the human psychology. The second thing is the numbers, the data, because you always measure different things. And the third part, the creativity of combining approaches, coming up with approaches. There's lots of thinking there, and you can immediately see the results if that's working or not, again, on the numbers part of it. So I definitely love testing my hypothesis through life, I believe, and seeing visible results, and especially for the businesses, it's probably the most viable result, which are the leads, right, that then convert into customers and help businesses fulfill their mission in the end day. So that's why I love it. That's why I actually focused my part of CEO activity a lot on actually overseeing the marketing and having everything set properly. And I also develop a lot into that topic because I'm absolutely curious myself. Coming from the creative background, I guess just throughout my life, you know, I loved making the challenges more complex. So first I learned design and it was literally the challenge of the creativity. But then again, you have the numbers and the hypothesis and the psych game coming with marketing. So that's how it evolved from my passion from that to marketing. Yeah.
Nice, I love it. So when you're working with people now, kind of how does that look for them? Do they need to have all their products and services and everything ready, or are they kind of going, hey, we got this stuff, but none of it's working? How did they usually approach you?
We can always start with ground zero. That's not the frequent case because usually companies would have something because it's either a product, maybe some MVP, or at least some initial vision that they have. They have to have something called a project to start off with, no matter how ready or raw it is. But primarily, we work with people who already have some digital product and they are looking to make some more noise in digital, I believe. So they want to roll it out, get it visible by more people, get noticed, get perceived in a good way, where this is where the website and the branding parts come in. Sometimes they will come with the product that it is not 100% working and meeting the needs of their potential customers or actual customers. And this is where we come up with the revamp of the product on the UX side of the design and test the user flows, test it with users and fix the product so it actually is very good usable and shows higher stats of usage. So yeah, These are two like areas where
Nice.
we.
So even if they have a product and it's kind of they're cranking it and they want to crank it up, do you go in and do the analysis, set up all the numbers on their sites first so that they know kind of here's where traffic's coming in, but they're stalemating here, there, and here. So we got to revamp this, that, and the other thing, or how does that
Yeah,
work?
if they have any metrics already, that's great because we can work with them. If they don't, then we help to set up the initial measuring of the things. If we're talking about website conversion, for example, fixes or the product usage metrics, I believe. So yeah, we would have the numbers first. But I believe the best approach is always like talking to users. So like quantitative feedback and qualitative feedback. So when you actually explore with the people why they're not really using it, because sometimes the numbers are good for displaying the obvious things, but you have to know the underlying reason behind that. And it is a science of extracting that information from the users, because sometimes, you know, the whole idea might not be good enough for them. So they can lack value, not even in the product, even though the product shows the problem, but the problem can appear somewhere way before in the funnel when the company is introducing the product. So it can be the positioning problem, for example, or who they are targeting. And all these things, this whole ecosystem can have the flows, and we try to fix them by again talking to people, because that's the most reliable way of actually finding out. And again, it's a science, because you can't just ask questions. There's a whole procedure of how you extract that information so it is actually relevant and true.
Cool. Tell me more about that. What do you have that helps them? Obviously, without giving away your magic juice, but do you have a process in place, or can you give us kind of some of the metrics of that?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the good cases that we were working with TimeCamp, which is a time tracker, and they came to us with actually asking to increase the conversion on their landing page. They were testing like ABC versions. They had the initial conversion. I don't remember the number, but long story short, we tripled that number and did better than all the competitors. Why? Because again, we approach things fundamentally. It's the design is not just about the color, the font or anything like that. It's way more about the approach and about the visual communication as we see it. So we actually went in and looked at what the other trackers are kind of showing. We talked to people like why they would use time trackers, because this is a very like common kind of thematic. So the need from the people usually is very pretty much within the same range. It's not like the one people would need one thing and then the other people would prefer an absolutely different one, even though that was also the result of the questionnaires and things that we saw. So we mapped out the competitor analysis. So what kind of features they showcase, what features they have that are actually quite compatible, and then what Time Tracker has to offer, TimeCamp had to offer in their offering. So we found these like coolest features, and at the same time I was also like myself picking a Time Tracker, so that was kind of easy for me as well, because I also had like my poll on that one. And we highlighted the coolest features, we visualized them like with GIFs, we made the visuals way clearer, just the whole page. And the CDA is like more visible, and then we also watched like how long the structure should be, and then we again showed it to a couple of folks and they tested it, and again the conversion just tripled just because of that. So yeah, but whenever you want to change the conversion, is again you have to know who are the people that are coming on the website, if we're talking website, because this is also important, because you have to understand what you're showing to them and what you're actually showing to them, because these
So,
both
when you
things
say you're
affect it.
talking to people, you're actually talking to prospects that are coming to the site and things there.
Yeah.
How do you get a hold of these people?
Yeah, it's a science of extracting the answer. So sometimes we would do the usability testing, which is like even more true if it's some problem that is related to how people use the app, for example. So we would ask them, hey, can you, I don't know, buy this back with the app? And they're trying to complete all the operations to get that back, for example. And we see that they are struggling on some step, or maybe they miss some information, or maybe they misstep something, or maybe even sometimes we would see that it's not even very like usable. Their finger is, I don't know, bigger, thumb is bigger than the button itself. We could see these things already clearly before we do the usability testing. But when you actually test things in real life and let them click, it's the best. Sometimes it will be about the conversation about, hey, just, you know, kind of you have a magic wand. Please tell me everything that you wish about this product. Or if it's not five, you know, if it's 4 out of 5 experience or 3 out of 5, why it's not five? What would make it five? And then again, we would also be really cautious about the biases and prejudices that they would have, that they want to always show up smart. They want to always kind of benefit you. They don't want to seem stupid in a way. So they is also influencing, and you can already also notice these little things if you have the experience and make the proper claims in the beginning that, hey guys, we want you to be like absolutely honest at the same time. Please crush it. Like, say all the negative feedback possible because we really need it, because this is how we actually can make it better. If you're just going to be trying to please us and be nice, it might not be the most relevant information. Also, like, there's a huge specific about the focus groups. For example, if you would have like five people in a room sitting and also speaking like what they have to say, it's interesting because sometimes they can kind of continue the flow and you could extract more information because, like, oh yeah, I didn't remember that one, but that's a good point. And they continue developing the thought and you get a lot of information as well. But at the same time, you get the collective bias come into play. So sometimes there would be a leader and people would try to listen to a leader, or there would be a person who would always agree with everything. So there are several specific people archetypes within the sessions that are always like persistent as roles, and you have to also acknowledge them and filter the feedback, which is one of the probably most time-consuming parts in the end of the day, is actually sorting out that feedback and getting to know what's important or not. Because sometimes you can do one testing session and be like, yeah, I totally get the guy, I totally understand what needs to be changed. But this is where qualitative testing comes in, and you want to validate this hypothesis on a larger scale, because yes, the pain is real, but do other people have the same pain? It's not necessarily true. So yeah, this is how we usually approach the user testings of any kind.
Thanks. So, who would you say is your ideal client, or who comes to you most often?
Yeah, it's technological companies, so the mid-size, I believe. So they have some service that they're offering, or the web product that they have. They are continuously growing. They probably like kind of are already out of the ideas, or they want the bigger scale ideas, because I believe middle-sized companies and brands, from what I see, start to invest in branding, and especially in branding communications, and in, you know, revamping their website, giving themselves an uplift. Because before that, some people would often like bootstrap. Then they would kind of stabilize themselves with some money flow coming in. And then when they want to have this next leap in their business life, they would be investing in things like marketing, sales, branding, upgrades of the product or of the website itself. So usually this is who we work with. But we have an interesting peculiarity of who we love working with. These are the game changers. So these are the people who actually want to be the first in the category, change the rules of the game, introduce something new, or something that they do way better than others, but in a way that actually serves their healthy progress, which means is making the planet a better place to live. So we probably would not work with any beer company. I personally am okay with beer, but I wouldn't want to make things like that louder in the society to increase consumption of that, because it's just like not the best for the humanity survival.
And
So
it's not a
I'm
digital
here.
product.
Yeah, it is. Well, sometimes the beer companies would, you know, be in Web3, and they would, you know, kind of introduce a lot of digital activities as well. And there's lots of actually like digital work that can be done for them. But yeah, if it's helping literally sell beer, I probably wouldn't be part of it, and we would not love to work with it. But if actually the company is doing something to,
If Anna Hauser
I don't know,
came
raise
knocking on your door.
awareness. Yeah. If the company is trying to, I don't know, make the world a better place, or like it's green tech, for example, company, that's amazing that we always feel like super connected. Or even if it's like an AI tool that is helping people to make faster decisions or make their life more efficient on the personal level, I believe this is also kind of important, and I love that. So as long as it doesn't kind of bring the society and move the society into some wrong direction of extinction, I believe we're absolutely happy to put our minds into cool
Awesome.
projects.
So what do you find is the biggest mistake that business owners are making when they're setting up their products and services?
They're being very personal with their PO. Sometimes their product is the child that of their self-expression, so they want to express themselves and their thoughts and their ideas way more than they want to actually serve the people. And this can be the problem, because they would make a lot of decisions that would personally satisfy their vision or their kind of ambition, but at the end of the day, they will not be relatable to people. They would not work in the best way possible. They would not like to talk to people or ask users. They're like, we know what they need. Yeah, but no. So this is the most common mistake that I see, is putting your own personal bias and taking a huge focus and not being able to move or consider any other opinions, just because, again, you have this intent to express yourself rather than to serve value.
Very cool. So you had mentioned that some of the stumbling blocks that people are going through before they get to you is that they're not getting the revenue that they want out of a product or service. They're not getting kind of they might get a lot of click-throughs, but they're not getting the sales in the end. What are some of the other stumbling blocks that people might be having that they're thinking, oh, hold on, we need you so badly?
Very interesting one is that when they themselves don't feel connected to what they're currently have. So this is also a frequent case with the website, especially if it's some smaller kind of entity like a VC, for example. They would understand that they don't represent themselves well, so they believe that they outgrew themselves. This is also, again, part of the personal game in a way, but this is a personal brand part, I think, that is important over here. So this is a very common thing when they come. We were asking, like, why do you want to redesign your website? Did your users tell you? Does it maybe not perform the way you want? They're like, nope. We just believe we outgrew what we currently have. This is like old and outdated, and that's it. And this is, again, a very interesting poll, and I think it's very correct, because I believe that the website for any sort of business, it's storefront, digital storefront. So people make a lot of conclusions about you before even getting to work with you just from your website. So yeah, this is a very common scenario as well. And again, even if it's not like a VC, it can be a company business, but CEO just doesn't feel that they believe that what they do is cooler than how they represent themselves. And this is one of the reasons that they want to increase. So this just comes actually like in halves of half of them would ask for better conversion or actually direct
Roadmap.
results, and half of the people would be just like, we totally know that it's just like not it. We don't feel it. And it is important for founders also to feel the coolness of your website. It kind of gives you the vision, the energy, like you're confident in what you're kind of promoting. So it is an important also psychological aspect, not just by making it cooler for the people, but for yourself to be sure that, yes, I have said the best things that I could have in a world of digital storefronts.
Awesome. Well, in a moment, I'm going to ask you about one of your favorite Cinderella stories. I know you already gave us one, but I'm going to ask you for another one. So we were going to take a brief pause and we'll be right back.
Are you running a business over seven figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention, you do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over seven figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap, they offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.
Excellent. So now we get to hear the good stuff. So give us an example of a Cinderella story of one of your clients.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, what is Cinderella's story?
Oh, sorry. So one that's gone from kind of rags to riches is the Cinderella story, but one that's kind of not happy with the results that they've been getting and then and what you did to help them. So like I said earlier, you had mentioned the one that you had helped to 3x, but give us another example. I know you got tons.
Sure. We were working with the Huobi company at the time, where Web3 was at its peak. We still work with Web3 clients, but Huobi was top three in the crypto exchanges. I believe it also holds the position as of now. And they came to announce their kind of new feature, the token drop. And they wanted something really creative in their communication. So what we decided to do is to make a TikTok video, which is going to be 1 minute long, to communicate that feature, but not like in a classy way. We decided it's going to be rap. So I actually personally rapped and recorded the song. Our motion designer is also good at producing music, so we made this super fun rap song, and we had this animation of the tigers twerking and all this kind of cool visuals showing up. And I believe as of now, it is their like second most seen video on the TikTok throughout the whole time. And yeah, it's been like super successful. The marketing manager was also like super happy. Like, yeah, there was like lots of comments about this tiger. It's like, oh my God, is this tiger twerking really? Because it was like a Chinese New Year, and we decided to kind of play around and be creative with it. And yeah, it was just a fun experience for me to record the rap song and then see that it actually performs quite well. I think it was like a little bit over 1 million likes which I think is quite a good result. And again, the best on their TikTok, they were absolutely happy. So we actually ended up making another similar thing, but it was then a song on the Valentine's Day as well. It was like the amazing song, "I love you just like crypto. I love crypto, love you like you." And it was just a romantic story between a person and a Bitcoin that they were hanging out and having all this good time. So yeah, it was, these things are always like super fun to make, but in the end of the day, again, you want to capture people's attention. You want to really be different. You really cannot be like safe because it's going to be a blend and people are going to really, like, they're very picky about what they watch. And currently, with the amount of content that is being shown, you really have to be different. You really have to stand out to catch them, hook them in any way possible. And we also see this happening a lot in Ukraine, for example. A lot of the major brands that would be considered very corporate or like serious, or like, our customers are not that kind of playful to do that. But they do these absolutely crazy campaigns where they would be like, I don't know, some potato with mouse and just be singing a song or just like moving around the screen doing some weird stuff. Because people, that gets people to remember that. I was like, oh yeah, remember that crazy potato? Yeah, it's not always about just sitting down in a suit and explaining what the value you're offering. And I love this approach. It is also similar to what Red Bull, for example, does, right? They don't show their product a lot. They will be showing you the pictures of people jumping from the parachute and doing the different extreme sports. And you're like, oh yeah, I remember this. So you don't necessarily have to really directly always point out, make the logo huge on your website to make people actually remember that was you. You have to give them actually the emotion of something that they remembered, and something that people remember usually is either associated with a very strong emotion, or it is something that really like is cutting through noise and being different, and they have to process it and turn their attention into grasping what they're looking at. So this is like a mental resource that you invest in. This way it also stays in the head. So these unusual experiences, they would be remembered for way longer. And any brand would like to stay on top of customers' minds always within the category. And really, there are creative and indirect ways of doing it.
I love it. So I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How did they start their journey with you?
For sure. You can always find us at thecream.com. I'm always taking part in all the projects, so you will meet me down the road anyway. Or you can find me on LinkedIn, which is Bohdan Poledichuk, and I'm also responsive. I post some cool content there. And we also recently launched something to play around with, which is called the Brand Quiz. I think it is quiz.thecream.com, or you can find it or on our website, thecream.com, with the Q, just like it's spelled over there. And yeah, it's a super fun quiz, and it's quite crazy. So I'm pretty sure it's gonna be stuck in your mind for a long time and serve some good value about how well do you know your brand. So yeah.
I love it. We will, of course, have all of Boren's links in the show notes. So go ahead and scroll down and click on the links, open up in a new browser because we're not done yet. So, Boren, I get to ask you, at what point in life did you know you're a special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
I think when I was like 25, I already knew that I was very good in design, and I already knew that I can be delegating some things and taking like a couple of projects and then telling people what the outcome needs to be. And I understood that, yeah, hey, I can actually serve way more value to this world instead of just doing one project at a time. I can do lots of different projects with even more talented people than myself. And this is where I understood that the best vehicle to drive the most value would be actually working with a team of professionals, not just by myself. And I still believe in this philosophy.
Love it. You've been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
Thank you. Stay inspired. I think inspiration is a crazy power that moves mountains. So yeah, remember about your goals, listen to yourself and stay inspired. And that would be the best thing you can do for yourself and the humanity.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and I know how valuable it is.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and it's been fun.
Awesome. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show and share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.